Good evening. Thank you so much for joining us tonight for our time of ministering the Word of God and our Bible study. Hallelujah. God is so good. He's so faithful. He's so awesome. And we give Him all the glory and all the praise that He alone deserves. I hope you and your family, you and your loved ones are doing well. And you are continuing to enjoy the goodness of the Lord, even in this season. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I'm so thankful, so excited for the opportunity to come together with the saints again around the Word of God tonight. And I thank you for joining us, whatever platform you are joining us on, wherever you are in the world. Thank you for being here with us. Let's bow our heads and share a word of prayer as we get into the Word of God. Father, we thank you so much. We're so grateful for everything that you've done and everything that you're doing. Lord, we feel your presence. We feel your approval. We feel your mighty hands, the wind of the Holy Spirit behind our backs. And we give you all the glory, Father. We give you all the praise. I yield to the Holy Spirit. Lord, I commit all of my brothers and sisters, everyone under the sound of my voice tonight, and those that will be joining us at a later time. I pray, Father God, that the Word of God will have a free access, and that there will be liberty in the Spirit to be able to do everything that we have been assigned to do tonight. I thank you. I give you praise and glory. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen and amen. And thank you so much again for joining us tonight for this time of studying together. I want us to dive right back into the Word of God. We're going to go to our theme scripture. We have been studying for several months now. The theme, what we have titled, Renovate Your Mind, Elevate Your Life. Let's go back to Isaiah chapter 55 from verse 8. It says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, and does not return there, but waters the earth and makes it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I send it. When our minds become renovated, and we commit to this process as we have done over the last several months, and our minds continue to be renovated, our lives will be elevated. We will be empowered to live lives of heaven on earth. The glory of God's blessings, the goodness of God, all the rich treasures of the Garden of Eden, the peace, the joy, the soundness of health, the good life that Jesus died to give to us. All of those will become a manifested reality in our lives as we renew and renovate our minds by the Word of God. When our thoughts become aligned with the thoughts of God, and when our mind becomes aligned with the will of God, then we will live an elevated life. Amen. In Romans chapter 12 and verse 2, that's the other scripture that we use just about every week in the New Testament as one of our theme scriptures. It says, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We have already talked a lot about this, so that you may prove, or so that you may experience, what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. As we renovate our minds, as our minds are transformed by the Word of God and the active work of the Holy Spirit, and we commit to thinking like God, and we align our wills and our minds with the will of God, then we will experience the good, the acceptable, and the perfect will of God in our lives. We will enjoy abundant life. Hallelujah. We will experience that newness of life that Jesus died to give to each and every one of us. Glory to God. Hallelujah. We have identified already a number of ways in which this renovation of the mind happens. This is really the stretch that we have been on for the last few months, where we've been talking practically about the different steps to actually renovating our minds by the Word of God. The first one we identified was brainwashing our minds with the truth of the Word of God continually. And we've talked extensively about that. We've learned a lot about that. Praise God. What a blessing. What a blessing to embrace the truth of the Word of God, to be surrounded by the truth of the Word of God. Like it says in Ephesians 6, 14, to have the loins of our mind surrounded with the belt of truth. Glory to God, where we're completely devoted to the truth. We're yielded to the truth of the Word of God. We're committed to the truth of the Word of God. Like Jesus said in John chapter 17 and verse 17, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Where we are committed to the truth, the more of that happens in our lives and the more of that we experience, the more our minds will be renovated by the Word of God. The second step that we learned and talked a lot about was what we titled or described as flooding the zone of our mind, just being surrounded with the Word of God. Of course, reformatting, reprogramming our minds, especially our subconscious thinking. There's an active change. There's an ongoing change that happens in our subconscious mind. Amen. Because we are flooding the zone. We are flooding the zone with the Word of God. Glory to God. We're constantly flooding the zone with the Word of God. We're truly blessed. By the power and the potential that exists in the Word of God. In Joshua chapter 1 verse 8, it says, if you meditate on this book of the law day and night, and you observe to do according to all that is written therein, then you will make your way prosperous and you will have good success. Well, that good success is what we crave. That good success is what I know the Lord has ordained for each of our lives. And as we flood the zone of our minds, and everywhere we look, it's the Word. We're surrounded by that Word in every area of our lives, right? In our spiritual lives, we're so committed to the Word. We're surrounded by the Word. It just envelopes every area of our thinking. In our physical lives, in our emotional lives, in our financial experiences, in our careers, our ministries, our relationships, our families, we're just so committed to the Word that it's the Word that determines the fabric of every area of our lives. Well, that's flooding the zone of our minds. That's, we're just constantly aware of the Word, constantly taking the Word of God in. Hallelujah. It's like the air we breathe. There's so much air. At some point, it's almost, it's actually almost like a subconscious thing. We breathe without thinking about it. Glory to God. We just breathe without thinking about it. Amen. And when the word of God becomes that way in our lives, when we're just in the word, even without thinking about it, constantly thinking the word, constantly living the word, constantly believing the word, constantly acting the word. Oh my goodness. Such powerful things do happen. Such glorious things do happen. Amen. And that was the second step. The third step we described as doing the do's of the word of God. Doing the do's. Walking in complete obedience to every instruction that the Lord gives to us. Of course, beginning from the instruction or the love command. The love command is the very first commandment that we are given in the New Testament. Loving the Lord our God with all our heart, all our might, all our strength, our soul, our emotions. And then loving our neighbor as ourselves. Walking in that love command, obeying that love command, is one of the most powerful ways in which our minds become renovated to the word of God. And then walking in obedience to every other instruction that we receive from the word of God and directly from the Holy Spirit to us. Walking in complete obedience every day. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 3 verse 10, say unto the righteous, it shall be well with you, and you will eat the fruit of your doings. Just constantly walking in obedience. What a blessing. What a blessing. Hallelujah. Now, the fourth step that we identified, we described as taking control of your own headspace. We talked extensively about this, actually. I think we devoted about two services to this and talked about different aspects of it. Taking control of your headspace. Continually taking control of the thoughts that come into our minds. Casting down thoughts that don't line up with the word of God. That we have to do because Satan is constantly trying to put those thoughts into our minds. Somebody says, Pastor, do I have to do that frequently? Yes. 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 Because Satan just keeps bombarding the mind. Obviously, there are times that he considers opportune times when he thinks that we are more vulnerable than other times. And in at those times, we would have to do it more. But even those times that are not necessarily times that he considers that we are vulnerable, he just constantly suggests thoughts. Sometimes these suggestions come through the world around us, comes through the media, comes through our associations. We learned that the three major influences that are responsible for the predominant thoughts in our minds. Number one, we identified as this like bedrock, the things that so critically affects the way we think. You know, thoughts don't just come out of nowhere. There's always an origin. There's always a channel. There's always a source. Glory to God. And we identify these three major influences. One, teachings that we receive. Teachings that we've received in the past. Teachings that we're currently receiving. And teachings that we will receive in the future. Amen. And then number two, observations. The things that we focus on, our observations, the things that we look at, the things that we see, the things that we that have our attention. And then, of course, number three, our associations. All these three major influences affect the thoughts that come into our minds. Amen. We've talked a lot about the place of standing our ground, taking the shield of faith. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 6, taking the shield of faith, whereby we cast or we're able to quench the fiery darts of the devil. Amen. What are these fiery darts of the devil? Their thoughts. A lot of times, their thoughts. And so, committing to not losing that battle of the mind is so crucial in the process of renovating our minds. Amen. That yes, we're brainwashing, we're we're being established in the truth of the Word of God. We are flooding the zone of our minds with the Word. We're reformatting, we're programming, all of that. And then, of course, we're walking in complete obedience. We're doing the do's. Amen. And then we're taking control of our headspace. Like, we judge the thoughts as they come. We judge them by the Word of God. Yeah, this is acceptable. This lines up with the Word of God. Or this is just a thought that is, this is just a casual thought that's a blessing to our lives. And there's nothing negative. There's nothing evil. There's nothing distracting or destroying about it. And we enjoy the benefits of those thoughts. But then we see some thoughts, and as they approach, we recognize, oh, that is not of God. That is sent to distract or to destroy. That is sent to pull me down or to make me wallow in self-pity, in failure. I believe it was last week that we took quite some time to actually deal with the area of some of the things that create issues of depression and self anxiety and suicidal thoughts in people. A lot of times, there are thoughts that come into people's minds, and they don't take control of those thoughts immediately, and those thoughts eventually grow up into things that create a darkness. But taking control of our headspace, judging those thoughts as they come, no, that is not of God. That's not my thought. You can't stay here. Get out of here in the name of Jesus. Casting down thoughts. The Bible says right there in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and from verse 3. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. 2 Corinthians from chapter 10 and from verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your own obedience has been fulfilled. That's taking control of our headspace. Remember one of the lines that we I read from my notes. It says every battle of our lives is fought and won first in the mind. And if you can win that battle of the mind, then you can enjoy the victory of Christ in every area of our lives. Sometimes we just need to just devote time to praying in the Spirit. Like the Bible tells us in Jude chapter 1 verse 20, just praying in the Holy Spirit and building ourselves up on our most holy faith. Amen. Bringing a reinforcement. You know, sometimes people that are in the military know this. They come against an assault of also an attack of an adversary. And sometimes maybe they don't have enough. They don't have enough fighters. They don't have enough artillery, enough weapons. They have to call for a reinforcement, right? Well, we call for reinforcement when we pray in the Spirit, when we pray in our spiritual language, when we pray in tongues. We are actually mobilizing a great reinforcement in the realm of the Spirit to help us advance, to help us build higher and stronger, to help us advance in the work that God is doing in our lives. Amen. To strengthen our minds. Sometimes our minds can get overwhelmed. Thoughts of fear, thoughts of doubt, thoughts of weariness. Sometimes we fight for so long that we almost feel tired of fighting. Our minds just sometimes almost buckle under the pressure of the assault of the enemy. Well, we need to take some time out and just pray in the Holy Spirit. And the Bible says when you pray in the Holy Spirit, you are building yourself up on your most holy faith. Glory be to God. Now, the last 2 weeks or so, we have been talking about the fifth step to renovating our minds, which we have described as, I think I may have started that last week actually, which we described as putting a bridle or a restraint over your mouth. The words that come out of our mouths affect our minds. Well, let me put it this way. I think this is more accurate. The words that we hear, the words that we hear from other people, words that we hear spoken by other people, but especially the words we hear spoken by ourselves, words we repeat, words that we buy into, that are verbalized by us, have a deep and a great impact on our minds. And I remember a few weeks ago, this was not even a time of study or anything, and the Holy Spirit brought this situation, this scripture to me from the Acts of the Apostles, where the apostles Paul and I think it was Paul and Barnabas had ministered in a place, and you know, their ministry wasn't really taking hold and they weren't really getting a lot of fruits. They came to another city, and there the Lord just gave them open doors, and the people were being blessed, and the people were receiving from the ministry of these two ministers of the gospel. When suddenly some of the people from that previous city where they were, who did not believe and who did not receive their ministry, came to this new city. And the Bible says when they came into this new city, they started to speak words against what Paul and Barnabas were ministering. That's all they did. That's all these antagonists did. They spoke words. But through the words that they spoke, the Bible tells us the minds of the people were poisoned. The minds of the people, that the people who were already believing, the people who were already receiving, the people who were already excited about the word of God and the ministry they were receiving, when they heard the words of these antagonists, the Bible tells us even their own minds became embittered. Their own minds became poisoned by the words that they heard. The words we hear are so powerful in the way that they affect our minds. Now, like I said earlier, the words we hear other people speak, that we hang around, we hear a lot of, affect our minds. Sometimes people want to say, oh no, that it doesn't affect me. What I hear doesn't. No, it does affect you. No, it does affect your mind. It does get into your subconscious. This is one of those areas where what's going on in our subconscious becomes very important, because sometimes there are things going on in our subconscious that we don't even realize are happening there. And then at a later time, when we are not suspecting or we're not aware, those things come out and we wonder, where did that come from? I don't think I ever believed that, but yes, we did. We did believe it without knowing. We did receive it. We did buy into it without knowing. Amen. The words that we hear affect our minds. You remember the scripture that says in Romans chapter 10 verse 17, and faith cometh by hearing, and hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Well, in the same way that faith comes by hearing the word of God, fear comes by hearing the word of fear. Anxiety comes by hearing the word of anxiety. Unbelief comes by hearing the word of unbelief. Anger comes by hearing the word of anger. Failure comes by hearing the word of failure. Faith comes by hearing, and by hearing the word of God. But in the same way, negative things happen in our minds and in our lives because we hear negative words. And so I was really blessed by this story in Acts chapter 14. I want to read that real quickly. Glory to God. Hallelujah. In Acts chapter 14, and I think it's verses 1 and 2 or 2 and 3. It says right there in Acts chapter 14, it came to pass in Iconium that they went both together, This is Paul and Barnabas. They went both together into the synagogue of the Jews, and so they spoke that a great multitude, both of the Jews and also of the Greeks, believed. When Paul and Barnabas ministered to these people, they believed. They believed. It's like how you and I believe a lot of times when we hear the word of God. When faith rises, obviously they were hearing things out of the word of God. And faith comes by hearing, and by hearing the word. So they believed. They believed the things they heard. They believed the things that were being ministered. Hallelujah. But look at the next verse. In the next verse, in verse 2, it says, but the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and made their minds evil affected against the brethren. Made their minds evil affected. Look at that. The unbelieving Jews. See that? They came from somewhere. These people, these Gentiles or these Greeks that were receiving the word of God and believing it and walking in the reality of it, heard the words that were being spoken by these unbelieving Jews. And the Bible says, these unbelieving Jews stirred up these Gentiles and made their minds evil affected against Paul and Barnabas, against the brethren. Well, how did that happen? Words. Words. By the words that they spoke, their minds started responding negatively to those servants of God. Now, before these unbelieving Jews came, these same people heard the word of God and the word of truth, and their minds responded positively to the words that they heard. But then the unbelieving Jews came, and when the unbelieving Jews began to speak negatively against what these servants of God were ministering, the Bible says the minds of the people became evil affected. In fact, in the Amplified, this is the way it describes it. It says, but the unbelieving Jews who rejected their message aroused the Gentiles and embittered their minds against the brethren. I'm sure all of us have experienced situations in our lives where we heard words that just aroused us. Aroused us and aroused certain emotions within us. You know, sometimes people can whip up other people's emotions by the things that they say to those people. Sometimes people can create hatred in other people by the words that they speak to those people. They can create hatred and division. They can create all sorts of negative emotions against other human beings by the words that they speak to some human beings. Hallelujah. A lot of the evil that happens in society is actually as a result of these words, negative influences that people get under the control of, usually are transmitted through words. Sometimes someone can speak words and negative emotions are aroused within us. We get so angry. Maybe they are trying to stir us up against something or against someone or against a group of people. And we can get so stirred up that we get up and go and do something to try to hurt those people. Not necessarily that we were sure that they were guilty of some of the things that they were being accused of, but those words we heard created such passion within us that we wanted to hurt them. It happens also on the other side. Sometimes we can hear words by words, powerful words that are spoken, words, positive words that are spoken. We may want to just go out and do good to people. Not necessarily that we have evidence that the words we heard about them were really so, but because our minds were aroused, we get up and we want to act on those words. Glory to God. The Bible says their minds were embittered. They embittered their minds against the brethren. I'm going to look for this in the Passion translation of the Bible. That's Acts chapter 14 and verse 2. And in the Passion, that's where he used the word poison. Look at that in the Passion. It says, Acts chapter 14, verse 2, some of the Jews refused to believe, and they began to poison the minds of the non-Jews to discredit the believers. Well, how did they poison their minds? How can you poison somebody's mind without giving them something? You didn't feed them with poison. It's not like you injected them with poison. How did their minds get poisoned? Words. This is so important. Put a bridle or a restraint over your mouth. Be intentionally positive in the way you speak. Watch the words of your mouth. Put a bridle, a restraint over your mouth. Be intentionally positive in the way you speak. Watch the words of your mouth, because your mind is affected both by what you hear other people saying and by what you hear yourself saying. Look at that. They poison the minds of the non-Jews. How did they do it? By words. Well, what was the apostles' response to this embittering of their audience's minds? What was the response of these servants of God to the negative effect of the words of the non-Jews, or the words of the Jews against the non-Jews, to embitter them against the words that they were being ministered to from the word of God? What was the response of the apostles? Well, they continued to speak words. So as words, negative words were being spoken by this antagonist, the apostles stood there and continued to speak words out of the word of God. And that's really the only answer. They were intentional. They continued to speak the word of God. Look at that in verse 3. It says, a long time. I love that. A long time, therefore, abode they speaking boldly in the Lord. Long time, therefore, abode they speaking boldly in the Lord, who gave testimony unto the word of his grace and granted signs and wonders to be done by their hands. Look at that. Long time. To eradicate the negativity of the words of the antagonist, they continue to speak words. But they were not just speaking ordinary words, they were speaking the words of his grace. They were speaking words that were intentionally drawn out of the word of God. And the Bible says God attested to what they were speaking by causing signs and wonders to be poured out. So whereas this antagonist came out with an agenda to poison the minds of the believers and to disrupt the work of the Holy Spirit amongst them, because these servants of God would not speak, they would not stop speaking words from the word of God, the word of his grace. Well, it made room. And the Bible says long time they kept speaking. Long time. I love that. They didn't just speak for a day or two. A long time. Sometimes we need to speak for a long time in the midst of the negativity, in the midst of all the poisoning, in the midst of all the bitterness that words are creating around us, in our relationships, in our family, in our associations. Sometimes we need to just commit to speaking for the long haul. We need to just commit. And some say, Pastor, how long is a long haul? As long as it may take years just to keep speaking, as long as the Lord grants us grace, as long as the Lord helps us. See, that's our assignment there, just to keep speaking, to not stop speaking. People may say, but you are not seeing fruits, but you are not seeing signs and wonders, right? You are not seeing change. Why would you keep speaking? Because to keep speaking is the way that change comes, is the way the harvest comes, is the way the signs and wonders come, is the way the fruits come. Hallelujah. We see that from the word of God. Long time, it says in verse 3, long time therefore abode they speaking boldly in the Lord, who gave testimony unto the word of his grace and granted signs and wonders to be done by their hands. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Let's read a few scriptures here. Psalm 39 and verse 1. Lord, help me. Put a bridle over my mouth, a restraint, so that I'm only intentionally speaking what is edifying, what is glorifying. Psalms 39 verse 1. I said, I will take heed to my ways, that I sin not with my mouth. I will keep my mouth with a bridle while the wicked is before me. I'll put a restraint over my mouth. I'll be intentionally positive in the way that I speak. I really love this scripture in Proverbs chapter 18, verses 20 and 21. It's a very popular piece of scripture, but I want to read it from the Message translation here. Proverbs chapter 18, verses 20 and 21. And I want to read it from the Message translation. I know in the King James, it says the power of life and death. Let me read it right out of here in the King James. In the King James, it says a man's belly. I love it. A man's belly, that's verse 20, Proverbs chapter 18, verse 20. A man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth, and with the increase of his lips shall he be satisfied. Then in verse 21, it says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. I love that, but I want you to look at that scripture in the Message translation. Let's read that from the Message. Verse 20, Proverbs chapter 18, verse 20. Words satisfy the mind as much as fruit does the stomach. Words satisfy the mind as much as fruit does the stomach. Listen to this. Good talk is as gratifying as a good harvest. Glory to God. Then in verse 21, it says this. Words kill and words give life. They are either poison or fruit. You choose. Amen. Look at that. Words kill and words give life. They are either poison or they are fruit. You choose. We already saw that example in Acts chapter 14 from verse 1 to verse 3, where words were poison. But in the same way, words give life. Words give life. Because right there in verse 3 of that scripture, even though in verse 2 we saw words creating poison in the mind, in verse 3 we saw words bringing life in the mind and in the lives of the hearers. The words that we hear affect our minds. Amen. They either derail the process of renovation that we're engaged in our minds, mind renovation, or they help us advance that process. Glory to God. Let's continue to read. There's so many things about words here. I don't know that I have a lot of time, and I think I want to close this early tonight. Glory to God. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 8 to 10. That's a very powerful piece of scripture. Let's read that real quickly. 1 Peter chapter 3 from verse 8 to 10. In verse 10, it says, if you want to enjoy life and see good days, then you should keep your mouth from speaking evil and guile. Let's read this from verse 8. 1 Peter chapter 3. Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren, be piteous, be pitiful, be courteous. Not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing, knowing that you are called, you are thereunto called, that you should inherit a blessing. Verse 10. For he that will love life and see good days, he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. He that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. Hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 4 verse 29. Don't let any evil, corrupt communication come out of your mouth. Hallelujah. Colossians chapter 3 verse 8. All these scriptures say similar things. Let's read Colossians. Let's read first Ephesians chapter 4 verse 29. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 29. The words you speak have a powerful effect on your mind. The words you speak have a powerful effect on your mind, and they affect the way your body responds. They affect the way your entire life responds. The words we speak can either take us in the right direction or they can derail us. The words we hear other people speak and the words we hear ourselves speak. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29. That's why this step of mind renovation is called put a bridle or a restraint over your mouth. Be intentionally positive about everything you say. Be intentionally positive. Even in your joking, even in your jesting, even in your laughing, be intentionally positive about the words you speak. Ephesians chapter 4 verse 29, look at what it says. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. So our words can minister grace to the hearers. They can minister grace to other people and they can minister grace to us. What does it mean, edifying? What does it mean? But let no evil communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying. What is edifying? Edifying is to build up. The words we speak can either build up or they can tear down. Amen? They can build the mind. They can make the mind strong. They can make the mind godly. They can make the mind arise. Or they can tear down. They can make the mind weak. They can make the mind vulnerable. The words we speak can. Hallelujah. Colossians chapter 3 verse 8. Thank you, Jesus. Colossians chapter 3 verse 8. Be intentionally positive about the words you speak. Colossians chapter 3 verse 8. Be intentionally positive. Colossians chapter 3 verse 8. But now you also put off all this anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Filthy communication out of your mouth. Why? Why put away filthy communication? Because they tear down. They tear down other people and they tear us down. Be intentionally positive. Let's read a few things here from my notes. These are very powerful notes. I want you to listen to me. I'm going to try to wrap this up pretty soon. Listen to some of these words. Your words rule your life and your mind, regardless of what you desire in your heart. Your words rule your life and your mind, regardless of what you desire in your heart. The thoughts that linger and rule in your mind, or that rule your mind, are greatly influenced by the words you are hearing. We've already read Romans chapter 10, verse 17. Faith comes by hearing, but so does doubt and fear and anxiety and failure. God said in Genesis chapter 1 verse 3, let there be light. Light be. He didn't say, oh, there is so much darkness and we need light. Those are two different things. He said, let there be light. Light be. He didn't describe, oh, yeah, the Bible tells us the earth was without form and void. Darkness covered the face of. We already know that. But when God spoke, God didn't say, oh, so much darkness. Look at it. So much darkness. Oh, look at this earth. So without form and void. Oh, we already know that. We already know it's a bad situation. We already know. No, God said, light be. God said, let there be light. And there was light. Glory to God. Glory to God. He spoke to Ezekiel in Ezekiel chapter 37, verse 4 to 7, verse 4 to 10. I don't have the time to read it, but you know this scripture. To speak life unto the dry bones. He didn't tell him to describe how dead the bones in the valley were. We're already told the valley was full of dead bones or dry bones. God says, speak to the bones. Prophesy. Speak. Your words can cause resurrection, even in your own mind. Your word can cause your mind to be built up, to be edified. Glory to God. In Romans chapter 4, verse 17 to 21 in the Amplified, I think that's a powerful scripture. I'd like to read that before I close out tonight. I'd like to read that one. Romans chapter 4 from verse 17 to 21. Let's read this in the Amplified version of the Bible. Romans chapter 4 from verse 17 to 21. I'm going to read verse 17 in the King James. As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations, talking about Abraham, before him whom he believed, even God, who quickens the dead and calleth those things that be not as though they were. And then in verse 18, let's read that from the Amplified. For Abraham, human reason for hope being gone, he hoped in faith that he should become the father of many nations, as he had been promised, so numberless shall your descendants be. He did not weaken in faith when he considered the utter impotence of his own body, which was as good as dead because he was now about 100 years old, or when he considered the barrenness of Sarah's deadened womb. No unbelief or distrust made him waver, doubtingly question concerning the promise of God. But he grew strong and was empowered by faith as he gave praise and glory to God, fully satisfied and assured that God was able and mighty to keep his word and to do what he had promised. Look at that verse 20. No unbelief or distrust made him waver, doubtingly question concerning the promise of God, but he grew strong and was empowered by faith as he gave praise and glory to God. Even in that situation of hopelessness, he grew strong and was empowered by faith and gave praise and glory to God. Well, what? How do you give praise and glory to God? Words. Words. And when he spoke words of praise and glory and sang words of praise and glory to God, his mind heard him. His body, entire body heard him. And his mind and his body began to respond to the words that he heard. You remember when God said to him and to Sarah, I'm going to change your names. Instead of calling Abraham, started calling Abraham, father of many nations. When he heard people start calling him father of many nations, father of many nations, in his mind started to adjust, started to recondition itself to accept that he will be a father of many nations. His mind started to get renovated to the point where he could see himself as a father of many nations. Let's read from this note here. Hallelujah. Abraham, after settling God's promise in his heart, hoped against hope and gave glory to God for the fulfillment of the promise. He followed God's example and called the things that be not as though they were. But he didn't consider the barrenness of Sarah's womb or the deadness of his own body and talk about those. He didn't say, oh, my body is so dead. Oh, my wife's body is so dead. Oh, her womb is so dead. She's so barren. No. Because if he had done that, his mind and Sarah's mind and his body and Sarah's body would have continued to be dead. They would have continued in that path of deadness. But when he spoke words of life, and when he spoke words of faith, and he gave praise and he gave glory to God. Their minds started to recondition and be reformatted and repositioned to become parents. And as their mind repositioned and reconditioned and was renovated, their bodies began to respond. Their bodies began to align with the words that were spoken. Glory to God. This is so powerful. This is so powerful. There are a lot of believers who think it's cute to talk about things the way they are. Listen to this. Let's read this further from my note. He says, he didn't talk about those. What he focused on and what he said determined what his body responded to and what he produced in his physical life. Some believers think it is cute to talk about what they see and how they are feeling at the moment. So their minds are stuck in corruption. But the Bible says to not look or focus or talk about the things that are seen, because the things that are seen are temporal. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 18. Let's read that and close out tonight. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 18. Glory to God. Some people think it's cute to talk so much about what they feel and what they see and what, you know, they talk. There's nothing wrong with acknowledging that you're not feeling good or you're not feeling well. Nothing wrong with that. Acknowledging that you're a little fearful, you're concerned. There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with that. But then it becomes a problem when that becomes a song. When that becomes an anthem. That the only thing, that's the predominant thing you are talking about is how you are feeling. Is what you are seeing. Is the things in the natural. That becomes a problem. There's nothing wrong with acknowledging it. There's nothing wrong with saying, oh, you know, we're going to need a miracle for our finances to pay all our bills. Thank you, Lord, we receive a miracle. You know, we're going to need some help. There's nothing wrong with acknowledging that. It becomes a problem, though, when we talk so much about it that it occupies the predominant aspect of what we're talking about. Because you can't talk faith and unbelief at the same time. Our minds respond to the words that we speak and to the words that we hear. And if the words we're speaking and the words we're hearing are predominantly what we see in the natural all the time, then our minds are not going to be renovated. Look at this in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 18. It says, "While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I think this is a very good place to say, to wrap this up. Yeah. What others say around us affects our mind. But more importantly, what our minds hear us say and repeat affects our mind more than anything else. And a very powerful step to renovating our minds is to make sure that we are intentionally positive. We are adhering to the word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word that we're speaking. The word, where it's the word that we're speaking. We're not denying the reality of what exists around us, but it's the word. God didn't say, oh, there's so much darkness. Oh, there's so much darkness. Well, we can see it. What does that change? We can all see that there's so much darkness. If you have lack, everybody can tell you have lack. Right? You can't pay your bills. Everybody can see it. The people in your family know you can't pay your bills. You and your spouse, you know that already. What's the point in flogging that dead horse? How about you turn that situation around instead of talking about how we don't, a lot of time, how come we just don't have most of the time? We don't have enough. We just lack. How come I'm always feeling this sickness, this pain. I'm always grappling and just dealing with this pain. This pain, I hope it doesn't kill me. What's the use in that? The pain is already there. And you know, if we want to advance the process of renovating our minds, let's speak words that are full of the Word of God. Let words out of the Word of God flow out of us. The psalmist said, I think it's Psalm 19 and verse 14. I'm not sure. I think that's probably it, Psalm 19, verse 14. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my Redeemer. Let the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. Father, we thank you so much tonight. We give you the glory and we give you the praise. Thank you, Father, for your mighty word. Thank you, Lord, for blessing us. Thank you, precious Holy Spirit, for your mighty presence amongst us tonight. I speak your blessing over all of my brothers and my sisters, everyone under the sound of my voice tonight. Let these words build us up, build up our minds, build up our lives, edify us, elevate us, renovate us. I thank you, Father. I give you the praise in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. 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 Thank you so much, saints. We're just about almost out of time. We still have a little bit of time, but I want us to close. Praise God. I look forward to seeing you same time next week. God bless you. Good night.